Hey, don't just sit there. Give us a 5-star review. Whether you download from Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else, just go in there, give us a 5-star review, say nice things about us. It's very simple. It's all I ask. I'd do the same thing for you.
I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane, I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, and Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
We're talking about Matt Cardona first, or are we going to talk about Daniel Bryan and CM Punk first? It's your call.
Let's talk about the elephant. Let's go ahead and talk about the big elephant there.
We'll be the last people in America to talk about this, because I'm still unconvinced that Daniel Bryan and or CM Punk are coming to All Elite Wrestling. That is the big rumor over the past several days, is that All Elite Wrestling has somehow signed, but maybe not, but yes, they have, but no, they've not, Daniel Bryan, and then they possibly could sign CM Punk, but maybe not, but maybe they haven't, but maybe they will, but maybe he'll be at Chicago, and then in addition to that, perhaps Braun Strowman, but maybe not, because Vince thinks that Braun Strowman's coming back, but then maybe he's not, but then maybe he is. So those are the rumors that have been
cycling. Good night, everybody.
For the past 72 hours, and I'm extremely cynical about all of this. I'm not really sure that all of this is going to happen. I do feel like something will happen if Bryan Danielson, whatever his name is going to be, I'm sure it's going to be Bryan Danielson when he comes to All Elite Wrestling. I'm sure they're going to do the American Dragon.
They're going to do the what? They're going to do the what?
The American Dragon! They're going to do the American Dragon gimmick with him, because they jack off all over themselves. He'll put the mask on, and then then the rumors are going to fly. Maybe Shawn Michaels will do one match with him. It'll be master against teacher, teacher against subject. So I'm just not in any way convinced this is going to happen. I think CM Punk has done a brilliant job of trolling people. He's following Vince. He's following Tony. He's not following. I'm just crazed about all this. Again, we're just stacking bodies on top of bodies on top of this. Help me out with this. What's going on in AEW land with the signing of these potential legends, Brian?
I don't know. The guy that that broke the story, I think, about Daniel Bryan, anyway, from, I was reading in Wrestling Inc., I think it was.
Okay.
.com, WrestlingInc.com, that he's like betting his life on this because of the source or sources or whatever that he has that he has signed, and he's going to sign, he signed for less dates and creative control, you know, all that shit that everybody else wants, you know, basically, it seems like. But apparently he got it, and it didn't say when, like if it's going to take place at the next pay-per-view or when, but whenever it is, this dude is apparently sold on it, man. He's willing to, like I said, lay his life down for it. So I'm convinced on Daniel Bryan. I'm not as much on CM Punk, because we've heard this damn train before, man. We've heard this train whistle come down the track before, several times. So, no, I'm with you on that totally. I'm cynical as you on that one.
I'm sorry, Gray, but it's not a done deal yet. Until I see him on my television or on a pay-per-view, then he's not there. It's all just rumor, innuendo, and gossip. I hate to be Bruce Pritchard, but that's exactly what it is. Until it's absolutely, oh, yes, details have been signed, and I got a screen grab of the contract and all this other horse shit. No, it's not a thing until he's on my television and he's part of the Dark Order. Jesus.
Well, here's the thing. I would be almost as cynical as with Daniel Bryan as I am with Punk signing. But since I read that article, I'm kind of convinced. I mean, this dude's convinced me anyway that I think Daniel Bryan is coming to AEW. And the article also said, and this might, the one what you're showing here might say it too, that Daniel Bryan's wanting to work a lot of Japan dates, which of course they're going to let him do. So. It kind of made sense, and it was believable.
That part of it does ring. I mean, I'd say that rings true to me, because I think he does want to wrestle in Japan. AEW has the relationship with New Japan Wrestling, et cetera, et cetera. I'll go with that. I'll say, to me, of all of the ones that have been rumored between Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Braun Strowman, this is the one that's most likely.
Then that's the one I've seen the most dirt on. That's the one I've seen the most information on.
And he got the Hulk Hogan deal. He's going to appear the Hulk Hogan, Brock Lesnar deal, where he doesn't do any jobs he doesn't want to do. He wrestles quarterly. He's an attraction. He goes to Japan when he wants to, and he gets, $1 trillion. He gets a piece of the pay-per-view. He gets, part of Tim Tebow's jock. I don't know what he got from those guys. He's got something. This is the article from Wrestling. As we've noted, Daniel has reportedly signed with AEW. He's expected to make his debut during the Grand Slam edition of Dynamito on TNT, which airs live from the Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City.
Oh, okay.
September 22nd. So we are 2 months away from him even debuting, really. So there you go.
Well, that kind of makes sense, too, with the 90-day deal. That probably times out about right.
Yes, but you also, if you're able to do it at all, wouldn't you want him on the September 1st, on that that Labor Day weekend pay-per-view? I would, but, I think they're going to do fine without him. But, if the 90 days doesn't work out, whatever. But then again,
maybe they'll do like a Chris Jericho kind of thing, the countdown thing on the during that pay-per-view, and then he'll actually appear at the
Arthur Ashe. Y2D. Yay. Same as Y2D.
So true, man. That's why
the only way
could be that way. Could be that.
Y2D could save us if he wipes out the entire Dark Order and buries them. That'd be great if he did that, including Colt, starting with Colt and then working your way up.
That would be nice. That part would be nice.
If the Dark Order gets fucked over, then who's going to stand up for Hangman Page? I don't understand. How will Hangman Page take care of himself if the Dark Odor isn't there?
You just don't like them at all, do you?
They're stupid, and it's dumb, and it's idiotic. And the Super Smash Brothers was dumb as fuck. They've kept it on for 8 months now, well beyond any kind of usefulness because of, in the memory of Brody Lee, God rest his soul or whatever. They can't get anybody over. It's basically so that Colt Cabana can continue to get a paycheck, and God knows he deserves it. What a hardworking piece of shit that guy is. And I'm so happy that Tony Khan can see his way clear to paying that guy money for doing absolutely fuck all. Absolutely nothing. He does nothing to get the show over. Nobody watches for him. And he just runs his mouth and tries to figure out, hey, am I going to do my podcast this week? Release all the old episodes, put it all on Patreon? I don't know. Colt Cabana. It's just dumb as fuck. I'm on the Dark Order being over here doing nothing. I'm not wearing a mask, but I might. Tell me to wear a mask. Should I wear a mask? Jesus Christ. I'm so tired of that guy.
I know, man. I totally and completely. I've been over that sumbitch.
Yeah, I'm in my studio apartment in Jacksonville sucking Tony Khan's dick. I mean, it's just the dumbest shit ever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it just became dumber after we met him. And, it's gotten dumber.
It's dumber from there.
So, yeah.
Here's what happened. I really struggled with keeping my podcast schedule. Now I'm full-time wrestling, even though I'm not really wrestling. I'm just sucking Tony Khan's balls and getting a paycheck.
Well, here's the thing about the Dark Order. I don't know what they had planned with Brody. I don't know if they were going to build a couple of these guys up really, really strong or whatever. And with Brody gone, that kind of derailed. I don't know if that was even in play at all. But I'm just saying, if that's what they're going to do, then I kind of get the Dark Order, I guess. If that was what they're going to do. Now, whether it would work or not, I don't know. But I'm just saying if that was in the works. But it's like now they don't really know what to do with these guys.
No, they don't. And they're not over. And Hangman Page doesn't need a group of jobbers out there.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. He also doesn't need to come to the ring with a fucking drink in his hand every day, being last call Scott Hall.
No, I'm totally with you on that one, dude. I'm so with you on that one.
I'm glad you said that. It's ridiculous. He has these fucking last call Scott Hall from 2000 WCW.
Well, it's kind of a cross between him and Austin. It's almost like they're trying to hybrid the two together almost, but it's just, it's coming across flat to me. You know
why I can't do that? I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life. That's why I'm such a piece of shit. I'm Colt Cabana. Dumbass. As we've noted, Bryan has reportedly signed with September 22nd. It was noted Bryan asked for less dates and comparable money to his WWE deal and not to be able to work in Japan. He also asked for creative input and received everything that he asked for. Well, could Brie Bella versus Brandi be far behind? Wow, that would be a dream match, wouldn't it?
Well, what's her deal? I heard they were coming back to WWE. I don't know.
I'm sure she is. I mean, it's going to help be helpful for them for marketing all their fitness shit and Birdie B and all that stuff. But, you know, again,
are they still, is Brie still under contract? The Bella's still under contract with WWE? Is like legend.
I'd like to see them break away because Brie versus Brandi would be a dream match if you dream of shit. That would be a tremendous dream match for All Out, Flat Out, All In, Double or Triple or Nothing, or whatever the fuck we're calling their pay-per-views.
Wow. Yeah.
Really down on AEW right now. Sorry.
I'm catching that drift a little bit here.
In an update, AEW's internal talks on bringing Bryan back began in May after his WWE contract expired. He lost the career versus title match. That's when he got stack pinned, right?
Yeah.
That's when he got stacked and it was all over. But then Edge came back pretty strong from that. Meanwhile, Daniel Bryan went away.
Actually, Edge went away too, but Edge eventually came back. Yeah.
But then he came back, and now he and Seth Rollins are dance partners. And
that so far to me is the best match on the SummerSlam card. Well, they haven't announced it yet, but you know it's coming. But I digress.
What, John Cena versus Roman Reigns? Doesn't pique your interest after Roman Reigns takes this pit stop through Prince Valor? Which is now what we're calling him,
Prince Valor.
Prince Valor.
You don't think they're going? Is going to be like a triple threat like they did with the women?
Oh,
tonight?
Stop! Just stop! God, not another triple threat. I don't want it. AEW started discussing a run for Bryan at that time. There were no. Here's another part. I hope he gets the vice president status. I hope we get another vice president of the company. We do not have.
There's always room for another one.
There's not enough. There's always room for one more faction in AEW and one more or two more vice presidents.
Right.
No matter what happens in that company, we could always fit. And there's always room for way more right-wing bullshit in that company, too. There's always room for more pro-Trump, anti-vax, pro-insurrection bullshit in that company as well. So all of those things are going to be.
Who is it besides Jericho?
The Bucks are like super Christian assholes as well. Tony Khan. I mean, it's not like Tony Khan and his daddy aren't making some sort of social experiment out of making Tim Tebow and shoving that down everybody's throat to own the libs. It's not like that's not happening. Just to show all you libs that you were wrong for Tim Tebow putting Jesus first.
I didn't know if I missed something on somebody else saying some bullshit or something like Jericho has said in the past.
And of course, Tony Khan's daddy gave that money to, you know, Donald Trump for the fucking inauguration and shit like that. So the king of the bumpers. So there's that.
Yeah. You know, that should not go unnoticed, really.
I know it shouldn't.
Giving money to Trump crap.
And then fucking Shahid Khan gets out there with his buddies when they're doing with his players, and he locks arms with them as a way of showing some sort of support, you know, or solidarity with them with the racial stuff. Ugh, makes me sick. King of the bumpers. Yeah. Well, that's what he should do with fucking Tim Tebow. Have him out there selling some bumpers. I mean, he could do a good job for that.
Why not?
There's a lot of church vans and church bumpers, church buses that need new bumpers, and that's where you need Tim Tebow. He's going to be more effective than that at playing fucking tight end in the National Football League. Dicks. I did see that what's his name, that Gordon Minshew guy who's going to be competing with Trevor Lawrence for that quarterback position in Jacksonville.
Yeah, go Cougs.
Did you see that Gordon Minshew said he hasn't taken a shit in 2 weeks because he can't even think about number two? He's competing for the number one spot, and that's it.
Sounds like something he would say, man.
He needs to be part of AEW. He'd be like way better. He'd be way over than a bunch of people for sure.
Would he be like what's his face?
Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee, yeah.
McAfee's not bad, but I think honestly, when you look at them together and they put McAfee and Graves together in matches, they're sort of the same guy.
Pretty much, I do hear both of them. Yes,
they're kind of. I mean, they're fine, and Pat McAfee's fairly entertaining and shit. But you know, whatever.
Barely. He's not, again, he's not as bad as I made him out to be when he first came in, but
he's redeemed himself a little.
He's no Jesse Ventura.
No. Or Bobby Heenan or any of
Bobby Heenan. God, not even
Jerry Lawler.
I don't even make that comparison.
Or Excalibur. Wait, he's way better than Excalibur. Well, I apologize.
Yeah.
God, what an idiot.
Put a mask on him. He is Excalibur almost.
While AEW started discussing a run for Bryan at that time, there were no contract talks and negotiations happening. It was said to be purely conjecture. The actual talks and negotiations between AEW and Bryan did not begin until sometime over the last few weeks. There is still no word on how long Bryan has signed for, how much the contract is worth, but it's believed he is locked in and signed. Stay tuned for more on Daniel Bryan's All Elite Wrestling status and future. That's right, September the 22nd, our Thrash Stadium in the Queens, where George Costanza got ice cream all over his face. Brings us to Phil Brooks in a situation, and he gets kind of lumped in with his stuff. Again, none of this has actually been confirmed or anything, and he continues to troll people, and we don't know if CM Punk is coming back, but we're dreaming of dream matches. CM Punk against Daniel Bryan, CM Punk and or Daniel Bryan maybe together against Kenny Omega, blah, 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 right? That's the big deal, right?
Man, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, Punk and Bryan against the Bucks.
So why do I think that they're going to try to get, like, CM Punk in and get him in some sort of program with Michael Nakazawa or QT Marshall? Why do I think that that's knock it off and get off my TV. I'm sorry. Why do I think that that's going to be like something that's going to happen when immediately when they go in there?
I could see that too, but just if it does happen, I would like to see that tag team. I don't know if that's maybe pushing it, but that would be sweet. Great.
I mean, everybody's in favor. I'm in favor of seeing these guys go and put them on TV and stuff like that. But again, we have like 173 people on that roster and a show that without commercials goes 1 hour, 38 minutes. And you can't get shit over because all of a sudden, you know, again, it's a QT Marshall segment. It's a Michael Nakazawa segment. It's Don Callis doing 8-minute promos. How the fuck do you get 163 people, even if you have 112 factions, I mean, which are great. The factions are like the equivalent of if you have an artist with a lot of hits and they do a couple of medleys during the concert just so they can work all the hits in. Right? That's what the faction is. Go, oh, there you saw them. That's great. Now they're gone. But it's too many factions. It's too many people. And when do we start like getting rid of Sean Spears, QT Marshall, Nakazawa? When do we start firing some of these people so that the actual stars can be seen and get airtime and screen time? When does that happen?
I believe that's going to happen when Bryan and Punk come in.
I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not sure.
Unless I doubt we'll see Kip Sabian if that happens. I'll just go on. I'm going on a limb and say that.
Because you and I were talking about this, about how NWA is in big trouble. If AEW somehow makes NWA into their NXT, let's just say, mm-hmm. and then you put the QT Marshalls and the God bless you, the Colt Cabanas, and the Michael Nakazawas and the Brian Pillman Juniors, and you put those guys on like an NWA program, and then you have the stars of the stars of the stars with the title holders and Omega and the Bucks and Cody and blah blah blah, and you put them on the main show, then maybe you have an opportunity to get those guys over, but you can't get anybody over when you have an hour and 38 minutes to get 75 people over. It's not gonna happen. Forget it.
No, you're right. Well, don't they have that new show, Rampage?
Rampage. And then Kenny Omega was talking about, well, I hope they have more women's wrestling on there because I've just gone through all the Japanese pussy. We need to recruit some more. I don't know if that's what's happening or not. I have no idea. So then CM Punk starts following and unfollowing people like Vince McMahon and shit and on Twitter. And he's just trolling people, which is pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. Well, he's good at that. You know, he's good at playing games like that. So, you know, he's been down this road just like all the rest of us, man. So he knows how it works. If anybody knows how it works, he does. So he's just going to play the game too, you know.
It's all very interesting. And now this report out of Talk Sport. WWE wants to re-sign Braun Strowman to combat CM Punk and Daniel Bryan joining AEW. So
wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa. To combat it.
Yeah, because there's so many people are talking about it. They got this talent, so we got to bring this guy back to us and do something with him. We can't let AEW have him too. We can't let him have Braun Strowman. So Strowman, who got fired by WWE, is just watching his value go up by doing absolutely nothing. He just has to stand there and his value goes up. But that feels a lot like one of those, like the Samoa Joe firing where Paul Levesque goes, which is exactly what happened with the Samoa Joe thing, right?
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
Samoa Joe's fired. What? No. And then they get him back immediately. So I think Braun Strowman probably goes back to WWE and he gets over about as much as he did the first time around.
Probably. He's not been gone long enough to get any kind of response, really.
No, you know? There's no response. And I think they'll end up resigning him, and it's the same thing. I mean, you're in a situation where, hey, they're really getting some very good numbers over at AEW. 1.13 million last week, you know, on that Wednesday night show, which was great for them. And I think they benefited from all of that promotion during the NBA playoffs on TNT. And God bless them. I think it's great. So WWE can act like they're just kind of walking through the park and they're not afraid of them or whatever. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, you have to show some part. The WWE issue right now very much looks like they're just cutting all the costs they can to sell this company to Comcast, Universal, or whoever they're going to sell it to. That's what they've been concentrated on doing for a while, is chopping salaries. That's what that Nick Khan guy is doing. He's trying to unload as many salaries as possible to make this thing as palatable as possible to a gigantic media company. And again, it's going to be Comcast, Universal, or probably not Disney, but one of those massive conglomerates. It's not going to be Sinclair because they're clueless and they don't know what to do with what they got.
No.
It's going to be one of those very big media companies, maybe 21st. I could see 21st stepping in and grabbing it. You could see AT&T maybe making a run at it at some point. That would be interesting. If AT&T ends up buying WWE and they have AEW, both of them together, that would be pretty fucking wild. That would be very interesting.
Interesting.
I would like to see that. Because that's where I could support. I could support AT&T buying WWE and then putting together AEW and WWE and then having Vince McMahon be in charge or Paul Levesque be in charge of creating and then burying the fuck out of Colt Cabana. Why am I having to eat some pins? I don't understand. I'm losing every week. I'm jobbing. That's what I want him to do. I want him to just job endlessly to a whole bunch of people.
They could combine WWE and AEW, like Jay Billis says, to combine the SEC and the ACC.
It looks like it's probably more realistic than it seemed like a couple of weeks ago. Holy shit.
No shit.
Is that just the Death Star? Is that what they're creating over in the Southeastern Conference?
It sounds like it, man. How do you go up against that? I mean, really?
The first thing the ACC needs to do is to make sure that Notre Dame is a member as a football school permanently now and forever. That needs to be done like yesterday.
Well,
that's going to happen right freaking now.
I don't even know. Has Notre Dame even said this is what we want, or they just keep saying no to everything?
They keep trying to woo and not woo, and then come back, and then I'll play with your dick for a minute, but then they're like, no, I just want to be friends. You know, they're doing all of that stuff. That's what Notre Dame is doing. That's what Catholic girls do, because Catholic girls start way too late.
Yeah, they do, but damn,
only the good die young.
Well, the girl that I was telling you that Dakota Kai reminded me of, she was a Catholic girl.
Did she play around, or was she real?
She was a poster girl pretty much, but
she was not like AEW. She was not all in.
She was not all in.
It's our next AEW pay-per-view.
She was almost in.
It was our AEW. Like,
she was Nikki Cross.
It's our AEW pay-per-view, Just a Tip. It's coming up on Fight TV, Bleacher Report, BR Live. Daniel Bryan makes his debut on Just the Tip, coming to you on BR Live.
And all he does is like peek around the corner in the curtain. That's all you get, you know, because
he does a little mat wrestling. He'll pin you for a little bit, then he'll jump off and count out. And then that's it. That's the whole deal. This story from over the weekend, Matt Cardona is your new GCW, that's right, wrestling champion. He beats Matt Gage, and the fans are not happy about it at all. As you can see, they're littering the ring with all sorts of debris, mostly empty beer bottles and stuff. Dave Meltzer calling it completely disgraceful, which started a chant at the next day's events at GCW, fuck Dave Meltzer, which again, another career highlight for the man from San Jose. I believe that I also, Brian Alvarez was saying that they were selling.
You know the man from San Jose.
Brian Alvarez was saying that they were selling t-shirts with Dave Meltzer's tweet on it, as Matt Cardona has won the, he's the king of the death match. You saw some of the gruesome injuries to Matt Cardona. I think it's some brilliant booking, it, some real heat. Dave thinks the fans really sullied themselves, even though it's interesting to see some actual Mid-South type heat in 2021. What are your thoughts on Matt Cardona winning this hardcore championship in front of fans who hate his fucking guts?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of it, because it's, I'm not into that shit, so I don't really give it much thought, to be honest. But I mean, I wouldn't know who Nick Gage was until the Dark Side of the Ring shit came on. I mean, seriously,
neither do the guys in All Elite Wrestling, but then all of a sudden now they're going to book him in a main event on TV.
Right. And
Could you guys book something that doesn't like exist because of Dark Side of the Ring? Could you guys do that for 5 seconds?
Damn. So yeah, I don't know. It sounds kind of dumb. I mean, I don't know what they expected, but it sounds like he got, I don't know. I feel kind of sorry for him.
I don't like this kind of wrestling either. This is like this is like my least favorite of all of this shit, and I don't understand it, and I don't know why.
Understand it. That's the thing.
I do. I understand it to a point, and I liked it when Terry Funk and Mick Foley were doing it. Here's some of the nasty-ass injuries. There's Matt Cardona with a deep cut to his biceps, and he was bleeding on the sheets in the hotel, and Chelsea Green had all that stuff out there. So,
I just don't, in a sport, and I'm going to call it a sport. Fuck y'all. In a sport.
Fuck y'all.
Yeah. You know, anybody that, well, most people that even listen to this would agree with me, but anybody mm-hmm. that doesn't want to call a sport, fuck them. And in a sport that is, I guess pre-planned, whatever you want to call it.
Choreographed, predetermined.
Whatever. You know, you use the whatever word you want to use. Don't use fake. Right. Whatever. In a sport that's like that, this is stupid, because unless you're truly fighting for something, UFC style, if you want to compare it to that, something that's not predetermined, whatever, why go through this? And injure your body to maybe to where you can't wrestle anymore, you know, for what reason?
Well, I'll be Cornette on this one. I'll be like, the point of this is to come out of it and not get hurt and continue on and make more money next week and the week after that and the month after that. If you're actually going out there and doing shit that really hurts your body, then that's kind of stupid and counterproductive to actually what the idea of pro wrestling was. I'll be Cornette on that one.
Well, okay, I'll even say this, and I might get some backlash on this too. As much as I love Moxley, I hate when they bring that damn barbed wire shit out.
Oh, it's stupid. It's one of the low moments really in the 2 year history of AEW. That stupid match up in Baltimore. I mean, Chris Cruz's histrionics aside, there was no reason to have that match, and it was stupid, and it got nobody over, and it was dumb.
Well, yeah, or that, you know, they brought it out this past week.
So now we're going to do it again with, you know, the Seven Souls of Hercules bullshit with Jericho and Gage. And, you know, Nick Gage is going to, he's his chance to be on national television. He's going to bleed like fucking crazy. He's going to try to get like all of these nasty gashes and do all this crazy shit because he's going to be on national TV. It's his time to shine. So,
I'm saying. I mean, if I'm AEW, why would I even want to be a part of that? Why would I want that to even be a part of my show? I mean, it's almost
because you got daddy's checkbook. You got it's like you're a 13-year-old and you just discovered your dick gets hard. Oh, you gotta jack that thing all the time. I got daddy's checkbook. I can pay for anything. I don't know. So, of course.
So is Nick Gage going to be like the 2021 version of Abdullah the Butcher?
With less artistry, I would say. I'd say
with less artistry.
I would say, yeah, there was actually some art. Like Abdullah the Butcher was not literally digging the fork into people's heads. He would do it a little bit to get some blood, but then he wasn't just like going in and trying to expose the skull of Wahoo McDaniel. He wasn't doing that.
No.
So yeah, of course.
I mean that's what I'm talking about. That was enough. That shit was enough for me back in the day. And it would be enough for me today, really, to be honest. If they did shit like that and get some blood going and you know, sometimes it would get going good, you know, man. I remember seeing fucking pictures in wrestling magazines when I was a kid of like some like Japan stuff and
or
stuff
like that, the Pat Patterson and Sergeant Slaughter matches and shit like that.
Just the Crimson Mask for sure, man. And it would just like I was just like, whoa. But you know, I know those guys weren't wrestling in barbed wire and they weren't wrestling in broken bottles or thumbtacks or some bullshit, you know. They got it. And a lot of times it's probably more blood than they were anticipating, but you never kind of know what you're going to get when you fuck around with stuff like that. But at least they were doing the minimum, I guess, kind of what you know, could do to get blood in wrestling to make it look.
What have I always said was one of the most memorable things they ever did with Abdul is when they did the thing on TV and they pixelated it. So that the violence, it was
the Wahoo one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like one of the greatest things they ever did because they pixelated it and the violence was left to your imagination. Now there's nothing. It's just like, I'm just going to slice you. I'm just going to fucking slice you and bleed all over the place. I mean, there's no artistry to that.
Right. Right. I'm totally, man. And that's why I guess that's why I don't like it. It doesn't have the oomph or whatever that it used to. And if they just kept it like it did, I swear, I think I've been fine with it still today. You know, I don't have to see Mick Foley fall off a damn 6-story building or, you know, I don't have to see that shit.
I agree. But that's where we are and that's what Tony Khan's going to do. So hopefully, geez, I wonder if Jericho is going to make it past this labor of Hercules and continue his journey.
Is this going to be this week? Is that this week?
I think so. Yeah. I think we're doing successive weeks of him going through the bullshit of Hercules so he can make his way to fighting MJF because MJF has been buried.
Okay. So that's going to be the all out.
How many times has MJF wrestled on television this year? Twice. Isn't that what we figured out?
Like two times. Singles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's wrestled a couple times in like, you know, 6-man tag like teams and stuff like that.
The best thing he's ever done all year long was throw Jericho off the top of the cage. That's like the most effective thing he's done all year.
Yeah. And that was some sort of tag match too, right? That was the Elite against the Pinnacle thing, wasn't it?
Before we talk about AML, America's Most Loved Wrestling, let's do a palate cleanser and enjoy the beauty of Sarah Schreiber. There she is. Monday Night Raw, Sarah Schreiber. What a body.
Fantastic. Man, she's flying under the old radar these days.
She is fine. I think there's even a better picture of her you'll be able to see. Oh yeah, she is just flying as fuck. I can't even like that's not even right. How old is she?
Probably like 22 or some.
Maybe 25 max. I would think. Look at her. This is another good picture of her on her. If you're not following her on Instagram, you are missing some of the greatest thirst traps in the history of thirst traps. There she is.
Wow.
Yes, sir. That's the hotness right there, dog. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
dude, I gotta see how old she is before I start telling y'all how.
Yeah, this is gonna be like this. My dick's only gonna get 3/4 hard if I find out.
Well, you know, when you got
according to my, she's it says she's 39.
What?
She says she was born May 31st of 1982 in Nutley, New Jersey, and I'd like to Nutley in her. I mean,
what? Huh?
Huh? What? That's what I'm getting. That's what it says.
Dude, it must be the same one. Yeah, it is her. Okay.
She's age appropriate for us to masturbate to. That is fantastic.
Wow. Awesome.
That's
great to know.
That's guilt free. We went to our first indie wrestling show in a long, long time as we went to AML's big old card, which was called Hard Ass Justice or something. I don't know what it was called. It's called something.
It was called, I don't know what it was called.
It was called, please put some air conditioning in that building, Tracy.
that's what it was called for sure.
Featuring a main event featuring C.W. Anderson and the Dawsons in a six-man match, which really looked like a five-man match, and Colby Carino as a heel, which was very
interesting. I think he played it off well, man.
It was a very good crowd job in Kernersville for AML Wrestling. They do a very good job. This is the first time we've really been to an AML card proper, even though some of the cards that we were at WrestleCade, it was Tracy being promoted and it was AML cards. But this was like the first real show that we saw.
Outside of WrestleCade.
Correct. And I was very impressed. Very professional presentation. You don't have any of the dudes walking in with fucking jeans on and Panic at the Disco t-shirts. Everybody had gear. Everybody looked like they could work. There was a plan for all the matches. They didn't go on everywhere. Things were doing very well. Our friend Brad Stutz was announcing. I'm sure that he had some sort of hand in booking some of the shit because his mind is just tremendous. I have a brand new favorite wrestler. His name is Jay Newman.
It's Jay Newman. We figured out it was Jay, not Jay.
Jay or Jade. I mean, I'm not really sure, but he's on the Twitter machine. I'll give you the handle in just a moment because Stutzy turned me on to him. He's my new favorite guy. He was called in at the last minute because the guy he replaced, I think Michael White, was sick or something. Jaden for real, Jaden number 4 real, on Instagram as Jaden1 Newman. He is from Chattanooga. I assume he's going to be in the Scenic City Invitational coming up in August, and he is a tremendous heel in this particular case with fantastic chick shit tendencies. The guy that was beating the shit out of him and slapping his chest was amazing. I mean, the conversation backstage had to be like, dog, just lay him into me. Just chop the shit out of me. And he did. He turned Jaden's chest into hamburger meat.
God,
and,
man, those sounds. Woo.
It was good.
They were reverbing.
I was told by Stutz, and I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, that he reminds him of a young Dax Harwood. And he can't tell Dax that, and he can't tell Jade that. So he's a tremendous chicken shit heel. If you get a chance to see him in an indie show, you're going to be completely impressed about how this guy works and his facials and what a tremendous chicken shit heel that he plays. I'm completely
impressed. That was the first match, right? No, that was
first match. Or second, I think.
No, second match. The first match was Gustavo.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good. They had a Latino babyface in that first match, and he did not go over because the guy that looked like the bass player, the guy who looked like Kip Winger, actually won that match. The guy from New York.
Yeah. Yes,
I can't remember his name either, but he was good. We also got to see the Hughes brothers, who are the twin sons of Devon Dudley. We didn't realize this until they work really well together. They do the for 3D as their finish, and I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, they look really good, man.
They were wrestling a couple of guys who looked Chikara inspired with the Pikachu gimmick. The kids clapped for them and then loved them, and they ended up taking the Duke as the Hughes brothers ended up beating them in AML Wrestling. So I thought the Hughes brothers were very impressive.
And I told you too that it just makes us look old the more we see all these
exactly
spawn of wrestlers that we grew up with kind of
and
stuff.
Met. Like, we met Devon.
And met.
Yeah. And Jesus. Now we get to see his sons wrestle. So you would assume the boys were trained by their father, or we've gone through this discussion about how some of the fathers won't train their sons. It was Ric Flair who declined to train. He would not train Reed. And I think maybe Richie Steamboat was not trained by Ricky. He didn't feel like he could do it. But obviously people like Rocky Johnson were more than capable and decided they were going to train their sons. But I'm sure Devon had a hand in training his boys. So they've learned the business right. Second generation and all that stuff. They look like they have a tremendous future ahead of them.
Yeah, absolutely. They really good. And I'm, you know, like you said, we didn't know really who they were until that one guy was yelling Dudley boy stuff at him, and you started looking it up, and there they were.
So I was like, if you're that guy at the indie show and you keep screaming at him, D-Bone, get the table, like, okay, we get it. You're a smart fan, you know it. Let's just chill because the guys are hearing that shit all over America. So just quit with the get the tables, testify. Stop with that shit. Just stop with that shit because the guys are tired of hearing it. You're not enhancing anything. Just quit it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know,
would you And we can if Bruce Mitchell is listening, I turned into front row section D at the AML show because the one in front of me was getting a little perturbed at me rooting for the heels. She was not especially happy with me and getting on to the referee when the referee was doing things.
That referee's doing the best he can.
He was counting people out of the ring and it was one, two, and I was slow count, ref. Come on, slow count. And then they bumped the ref and I started yelling to the back, let's get another ref out here. Come on, we need another ref. It's really. The show started with a pre.
You were the only one. You're the only one.
There's like three refs out there, but nobody could figure out. I guess they were back there just drinking water, you know, because it was a hot day and there was no air conditioning. So they had to be back there.
I can't say that I blame them, but
drinking Dasani, trying to hydrate as best they possibly could. The show started with a pre-show angle featuring Colby and the Dawson brothers. And apparently they stole some AML money, which invoked a fight. And C.W. Anderson came out to make the save. And I think George South was involved in that. And eventually, before we got to our main event, which was C.W. Anderson and Purely Precious Preston Quinn against the Dawson brothers and Colby Carino, which is 3-on-2 action in supposedly a 6-man tag team. The money was gotten back from AML Wrestling. So that money was restored to them. And so the match then happened. You may have seen this one on Instagram. It's on AML's account. Colby Carino does a spot where he climbs a ladder, goes on top of a basketball goal, and then dives upon everybody, C.W. Anderson and the assembled crowd. That was when we almost died.
Yes. Dude, I had the perfect shot of him up on that ladder on the camera. And that guy goes, move, and push us out of the way. And I didn't even get a chance to even hit the button.
It's a family-friendly show, and he's telling us to get the fuck out of the way. How family-friendly is that, sir?
Yeah, I wonder what the lady in front thought about that.
Oh, she's okay with that as long as he's supporting the good guys.
Well, yeah, as long not knocking the ref.
Mike, not knocking the ref.
Knocking the ref.
Michael, knock it off and get off my TV. That's some good ass shit right there. That's all I can tell you. That's some good ass shit for sure. So yeah, the main event was that, and then George South comes out and he does make it a true 6-man, and in a falls count anywhere match, because we're using ECW, he puts the claw on young Colby Carino, pins him right in the middle of the ring. It was really nice, really well booked.
It was anticlimactic.
It was fantastic. And as we exited, I said to Tracy Myers, the promoter, I said, you really got to work on security around here. Your security is just a little extra. Yeah, that and the referees. Very hard. It's really hard as a promoter to get all that stuff down. But we had a blast, and we will be back for AML Wrestling, and they do a very good show. And they're great. They're really doing a great job.
I think they're when we used to go to the old CWF shows, I think they're definitely is good, or maybe even, you know, better than them. I don't know. You know, it'd be hard to compare the two, really, but
it is
there to say one is better than the other. But I think they're going to get the fan base for sure. That
CWF, we have such an emotional connection, and we have such a sentimental connection to those old CWF shows. I mean, it would be hard to like compare them without taking the emotion out of it. You know?
Oh, I know.
That would be the hardest thing. We did watch Raw. Let me see what this says. SmackDown numbers down, still second best numbers since May, according to David Meltzer. The Friday, July 23rd episode of SmackDown, averaging 2.137 million viewers on Fox, down 7.5% from the previous week. Aside from the previous week's episode, was the highest audience for the show since May the 7th. So that was going to head-to-head with the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, right, on Friday night.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a pretty good deal. I don't know, and I haven't seen the Olympic ratings. I personally don't feel that there is that much interest for the Olympics like there has been in the past. How do you feel about that?
Doesn't seem like it. I don't know. What are you? Are you an Olympic guy? Like, generally speaking,
you know, when I was younger, I guess naturally, as you get a little older, you get a little more jaded or whatever. The stories are really good. The Summer Olympics are basically the events that matter are the women's gymnastics and field and track and field. That's the stuff people watch. The rest of it is just window dressing, swimming and diving, and now the skateboarding and the volleyball and stuff. But the key stuff that people always watch is that women's gymnastics and the track and field stuff. People tend to watch that stuff. Just like the Winter Olympics is built very much around ice skating. Everything else, the biathlon, hockey, anything else that you talk about with the Winter Olympics is all window dressing. The one event that truly matters is the ice skating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the stuff that people watch.
I don't know. I'm kind of meh on the whole Olympics. I mean, it just depends on what kind of mood I'm in for that particular Olympic year. And I know that sounds weird, but sometimes I get into it, sometimes I don't. And there's no real telltale sign of why I do that, but I don't know. And this year I'm just not really got, I've kind of caught a little bit here and there, but I'm not all geeked up for it or anything for sure. I mean, that's not the case. I'm not like some senators and congressmen that I've heard, at least one person that's totally rooting against the U.S.
Yeah, that does happen a lot, doesn't it? For some reason, I think it's remarkable that you have some of these athletes who happen to be young African Americans and they believe enough that they want to represent their country. You know, I think that's remarkable. We have folks even from this area who go to North Carolina A&T State University, historically black college university, one of the best in the country. And even despite the very complicated racial history in this country, they decide that it's a worthwhile thing to represent their country at the Olympics. I think that's laudable.
Oh, absolutely. And they, you know, speaking of them, of A&T, they did really well. And I want to say in both men and women's, but men, I know for sure.
Yeah.
Track and field this year, they always have them out at Oregon, University of Oregon.
Right.
And they finished like third or fourth. I mean, it was, and we're talking like against SEC, you know, ACC, Pac-12, all the big schools, Big 12 or whatever, Big 10. And so they've got some athletes over there.
Absolutely. In
North Carolina A&T. Don't underestimate those dudes, those ladies.
Did you hear this about B. Brian Blair's son?
Yes.
Very sad. Brian's son, Brett Blair, was found murdered at a remote construction site, just 29 years of age.
I saw this picture of him fishing with him like a few days before that, I think.
Unbelievable.
On Instagram or something.
As of now, there are no clues as to what happened. This is, I guess, Dave writing, "I feel so bad for his family with this news coming just after the death of Paul Orndorff, which is one of B. Brian Blair's best friends. In addition to him just having major back surgery, Brian is a great guy. I've been reading his soon to be released autobiography. Of course, Brian is now kind of the chief mocker there at the Cauliflower Alley Club. It is a funny and serious book. Dave writes about life experiences during the territory era, WWE from the 80s, the independent world, running a gym franchise and local politics. He's always been a great ambassador to this industry as a president of the Cauliflower Alley Club, working with different Halls of Fames and other groups, and work to help wrestlers down their luck with people that they don't even know about. So condolences to B. Brian Blair and his family. It's very difficult. Congratulations to Impact Wrestling's Trish Parker, known as Jordan Grace, who competed last night. This is over the weekend at the World Natural Powerlifting Championships in Fayetteville, Georgia. At 165 pounds, she not only won the championship, but set state and national records in the bench press. 210 pounds, an amazing lift for a woman, let alone one not on steroids. Squat, 320 pounds. Deadlift, 355. Total, 885.
She's something, man. Do me a favor. Go right now to Instagram and look at Rachel's Instagram and go back a few pictures and look at the one with her and Jordan. Like,
I love the two of them together. I got
to
be honest.
Oh, my God. Jordan looked, and the reason I'm wanting you to look at it is how good Jordan Grace really looks and just out of the
ring. Oh, yeah. That's crazy. She has changed her physique entirely. We're going to show you a picture here for those of you that are watching and those of you that are going to come back later and watch. But, yeah, that is a great picture. The two of them together are money.
Impact, I love them.
Impact has stumbled onto something amazing. There's the picture I think that you're talking about. Boom.
Right that's there. It. That's yeah. It.
Golly. That's something.
Yeah, that's a – God dang, that is such a great picture.
It really is, and she's a tremendous athlete, and she's a good worker, and she and Rachel together have done some good things in Impact. One of the reasons Impact is looking up, despite their many misfires and mismanagement and everything else going on there, for sure.
No shit. Yeah, they're definitely a bright spot. She liked one of my comments. I told her she had an Instagram post she put up today. It was with her and Molly Holly, and she had, and Rachel had on a cool ass old school Road Warrior shirt that I'd never seen before. And I told her, I said, great pick and awesome, sweet t-shirt or something. And she liked it. I hope she's going to be at WrestleCade, man.
Regarding Steve Corino coming out of retirement in a match against his son Colby and whether or not he's no longer with the WWE, Corino is still there and not taking any bookings. Colby went on social media and asked who he should wrestle with his August birthday show for the PWF in North Carolina promotion that his father owned and then sold when he took the WWE job as a producer for NXT. More people voted for his father than anyone when someone asked about doing it. He said he would. Do you know that Colby's got a son, like a little baby son? Colby's got a kid. No, yeah, he's got a little that, guy. But... I mean, it's amazing. He's like, he looks like a kid in and of itself. But... So that means Karina is actually her grandfather.
I think he looks like, now that he's got like dark hair and that mustache and beard and everything, facial hair, I think he looks like Matt Sydal.
He does look a little like Matt Sydal. He really does. It's a good look for him. I like him as a heel. I always like the kid as a heel.
I think it went over. I think
He's killer. He's great. He's great with the Dawsons. They should continue to do some more of that stuff.
I love the Dawsons. That's enough. The Dawsons are somebody else. They're so good, man. And I don't think – I haven't seen NWA. I don't know if they're on it. I was hoping I could talk to them. I was going to see what their deal was. But, you know, they did make a few appearances on NWA back before COVID and all that shit.
Right.
So I didn't know if they were still – you know, had any connection with them or not, but
Steve has been training hard to get in shape at the Performance Center, and they're producing vignettes to build the match as it approaches, as things stand today, because you never know in wrestling, it's a one-time thing and not a comeback for now. I would love to see Steve and Colby Corino in a match. That'd be something else.
Don't you think that would probably happen in North Carolina?
I hope so. I'd love to see it. I mean, the only time I can remember seeing Steve work was that match we saw for the AWA Championship against Converse. That's the only match I remember seeing. Well, Carino? And also the blood.
Well,
the blood
I was gonna match. Say, come yeah, on
the,
now.
The blood match in which we were complete
You come out looking like a doctor in a lab.
He did. He looked like that's the real Butcher. Fuck Butcher and a Blade. That's the real Butcher right there.
Hey, no shit.
Jesus God, that was like. I just don't know. Why would you wear a linen suit to a wrestling match? It's so odd.
God, I just can't get over how stupid you were.
It's like we mark out sometimes for like no reason.
Just totally, man.
I've seen this on Disney Plus because my girlfriend has given me access to this now. The Dwayne Johnson produced documentary Stuntman, which is a look at the life of famous stuntman Eddie Braun, is now out on Disney Plus. So you guys go watch this. A fan that won the AEW Elite GM Invitational Championship got to make a match for Dark Elevation. He picked Lee Johnson versus Luther. Wow. What a great pick that was. You dumb fucking stupid Mark. God almighty. Could you just jack up over some indie shit? God, it's just ridiculous how stupid these idiots are.
I wonder how he deducted or deduced.
You see what happened when I saw Luther, and he had this fantastic match at this. I saw this great indie match down at Coral Gables, and then they followed up the next night. It was really at another place in Florida when I saw him in Winter Park, and I just said, I have to see these two people in the ring at the same time. And I went home and I furiously masturbated and put some blisters on my skin, and I said, if I could ever have a billionaire asshole with daddy's checkbook pick me to pick a match, I would pick Luther versus Lee Johnson. Piece of shit.
That's probably how it went.
That's exactly how that fucking shit went. Yes, I saw last week's AEW Dynamite. I thought it was a fine show with the exception of Nick Gage against Chris Jericho for no reason. And Chris Jericho's about as fat as I am, so somebody do something with him. Are you looking forward? Are you looking forward to your All Elite Wrestling experience coming up in just like 48 hours?
Man, talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're so excited you can't even. You're speechless.
No, I'm thinking. Well, no. I was just you said that about Nick Gage. I was like, was that last week? I was thinking about that. Okay.
So you're gonna get to see a bloodbath. You might want to wear like a slicker or a poncho or something.
No, let's hope it doesn't go up. Well, I don't know if it could be all over the building, so I guess I am vulnerable.
Yeah, it's called hepatitis. Yeah, man, can you get the shot early? Are you like some of these people that feel like you can get COVID, go in the hospital, then get the shot?
I was going to say, can I get it afterwards? Can I?
Honest to God, there's a segment of America that believes you can get sick, go in the hospital, and then go, okay, I'll take the shot now. which I as I said on the Brad and Brickcast was, I don't, did I say it on the Brad and Brickcast or I say this on our show last week?
No, you
which,
said it on Brad and Brick because I heard it. I said
it's like, oh, I got syphilis. Let me go ahead and put a condom on. What the fuck? What's wrong with you? It's in your dick now. You're just not giving your dick time to breathe now that you got the condom on.
It's making it worse. It's just festering.
But assholes. So you can get bled on by Nick Gage, and I don't want you to get bled on by Nick Gage because I don't want you to get hepatitis.
No, I don't either. Hopefully I'm that fond won't happen.
Of you, so get one of your old Atlanta Braves ponchos or some shit from the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about taking Holly's mask.
Oh, nice.
That I got her at WrestleCade that year.
I think I've got a hazmat suit in the back of my car.
I'm talking about a wrestling mask I've got. Mr. Wrestling 2 type mask.
Oh, nice. I want a Santo mask. I should get a Santo. Hey, my birthday's coming up, so give me a Santo mask, you fuckers. You dicks. AEW is turning back, going back to Jacksonville so fast after a one-year-plus residency. Tickets for the August 4th show at Daly's Place. August the 4th. Wow, a whole week away. How did you guys
do? Oh, they've been gone so long.
It's not going to come anywhere close to
50. People are so glad they're back.
Yeah. Again, how can I miss you if you won't go away? It's not going to come anywhere close to 5,100 tickets. The company is working with the Wounded Warrior Project. And every $20 or more donation between 7/25 and 8/2, you can get two free tickets to the show. I like the mission of all the Wounded Warriors, of course, but there's been all sorts of audits of that organization that the money is not, they're not very efficient and good stewards of the money, and a lot of it does not get to the people it needs to help. So there's other places they could look at, but again, you know, it's so Tony many, Khan so trying many to... Fucking-
charities like that, man. It just, it's sickening.
It's true. This was the, geez, that gathering show was in fucking Charlotte. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not aware. I just figured those assholes were acting like dicks in Charlotte. Wow. Because it was that big convention down there. Okay. Well, now it's
like the one we went to, basically.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Tennessee Stud was down there and various people. That's amazing. Here we go. Gathering from last night in Charlotte. This is Sunday. Mike Jackson, the original high flyer in action, Brian, at the age of 71 years
old. Action Jackson.
There he is. He beats Antonio Alonso. He goes over. The old man's still getting it done. Oh.
And the thing about it is Mike Jackson seemed like he was old as shit back when I was a kid.
Well, and when we saw him, and that would have been 20, you know, that's 2010. That's 11 years ago. He was just a kid at the age of 60.
I know, right?
A mere babe at the age of 60. And that was on the night of the American Dragon. That's right.
Same night. Same
Lodi night. Over Dustin Bosworth. So Brad is still working from time to time. There's Colby Carino doing double duty as he was in Charlotte after he wrestled in Kernersville. God bless him. He goes over John Schuyler.
Whoa.
How about that? Samantha Starr, managed by her mama, baby doll, over I guess it's a Shalanice Royal, managed by Dark Journey. Look at a couple of names from the past. How about that shit?
Wow. How about
that? Speaking of names from the past and Baby Doll and Samantha Starr, Sam Houston over Mitch Hurley. There you go. The Revolt beats Overkill. Camille, your NWA Women's Champion, beats Kenzie Page, and she retains her title. Mr. Hughes, your favorite wrestler of all time, beating.
Yeah, I love him.
Beating Bam Bam Bundy, and there's Nick Aldis.
Bam NWA. Bam Bundy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right? How dare you, you son of a bitch.
When's King Kong Bigelow going to appear?
So what I did was, I'm such a mark, was I took Bam Bam Bigelow, and then I took King Kong Bundy, and I merged him. And now I am Bam Bam Bundy. Or I'm also Terry Bam Bam Gordy. I don't know what I am. I'm just a huge, big, fucking piece of shit mark.
Dusty Flair.
Dusty Flair in action. Woo, Mercer. Nick Aldis defeats Trevor Murdoch. Your NWA champion is still Nick Aldis. There he is, looking course. Like a man.
He's always going to be that. He's always going to be the champion. Nobody's ever going to beat him.
Any other closing thoughts on another great episode of Katie Vick is Alive, Alive, as we've gone around the world, checked out All Elite Wrestling, and checked out the indie scene as well, Bryant?
Yeah, we went everywhere, didn't we? God damn.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm good, man. I am looking forward to AEW though Wednesday night. It's I don't know what to anticipate. I'm excited.
And we're going to look forward to the pictures that we're going to see on Bry Sports on Twitter and Instagram for sure.
Yes.
And
yes.
Look for your report next week. I want to get a thorough report of that. So that's going to be very interesting to see what goes on and kind of show. I think it's going to be a hot crowd. Hell, Charlotte seems to be the center of wrestling right now, coming off the gathering and this thing.
Well, we were talking about it over the weekend when we went to the AML show, that when Charlotte was like one of the first three or four shows that AEW had, and they were hot as shit that time they came. So I'm hoping it'll be the same kind of stuff, man, because that's why I'm going, man. That's get the AEW feel.
You wonder if Tony Khan's such a mark that he's going to make Matt Cardona make an appearance of some sort on Wednesday night, just because of all the heat that's happened over the past several days.
He'll interfere in the Jericho Gage match. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Bry Sports on Twitter and Instagram. As mentioned, for Brian, he is Stanley Jackson 23 on the TikTok. Our show Twitter is at Katie Vick Alive. You can get to me individually on Twitter at Britt Whitmire, BrittWhitmire on Instagram. It's B-Dub4Reels, BDUB, number 4, REELZ. You want to support what we do? We appreciate all of your help at katievick.com. That is our Amazon store. It does not change the cost of what you're doing and what you're buying, but it helps us out if you shop at katievick.com. Again, thank you for all your support and enjoy the shows this week. Until next time, fans, we'll see you, and Bryant will definitely see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.